The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Arthur Idala on AM 970, The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
It is 6:03 here in New York City. It's Arthur Idala on the Idala Power Hour. Woo-hoo! What a day. I mean, I hope, I can only hope for those people who I care about and those of you who are listening who I don't know, but I hope you're having a great life, that if you're working as hard and you're putting as many hours in as I am, that you enjoy what you do. Because if you don't, it's really rough. We have a great show. Sadly, there was a major shooting in the subway. And although I spoke to Chief Kemper earlier today, I don't know if he's going to be making it on the show or not, because it's right in downtown Brooklyn. It's right by the courthouse, the Skimmerhorn Street courthouse, the Hoyt Skimmerhorn Station, which is, it's an area I frequent often. And here's the scary part. It's a guy getting shot in the head, like, in the middle of the day, basically. It's 4:50 in the afternoon. It's not like 4:50 in the morning, and you're wondering why were you out and about. So maybe we'll have Chief Kemper on. Maybe we won't. I know if we don't have him on today, we will get him on tomorrow, because he's that guy who doesn't want to leave us in a lurch, and he's so good at doing this. I hate that stuff. That's so scary. It's too close to home. So talking about my day, it's interesting. So my son, Luca, 17-year-old son, Luca, goes to school all the way out in Flushing. So I woke up early this morning, got to see the kids. Real personal note, my two-year-old daughter, when I went into her room this morning, she didn't want to be with me. No, Dada. No, Dada. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. And she's like running away from me. I'm like, Ariana, can I have a hug? No. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. I'm like, okay. And then I ran and I got my belt, whatever the last things I needed to put my little outfit together. And then I'm leaving and I go by her room to go downstairs. She goes, Dada, hug. Dada, hug. And like the rest of the day can't get any better than that. Yeah. Well, Sambolino knows. He's got double. Yeah. You got it. She's going to be four, right?
She's going to be five.
Five. Today, I should know. I have the invitation. she's going to be five. Well, Ariana's 2.5, and it's very, very special. I have two sons. They say, you hang out and you play with your son, but you flirt with your daughter. And that's kind of true. So anyway, I ran downstairs and then I grabbed Luca and we drive a solid hour, but we did this really cool, Trivial Pursuit kind of thing about American history. Really cool. It made the car ride, which was almost an hour, go by very quickly. And, it's really crazy because when I first started doing this ride with Luca from Bay Ridge to Flushing, or before that it was Bayside, I think it was in fifth grade, fourth or fifth, maybe third grade even, I would like dread this ride. And now it's something, it's amazing that I look forward to because it's quality time. I'm not on the phone. It's early in the morning. We leave the house at like 7:10. And he gets to school around 8:10. He doesn't have to really be there until 8:20, 8:30. And I looked at the calendar, and maybe there's only like 10 more times I'm doing this. And that's a little sad. I mean, Luca's not going to go to school far away, but we won't have our regular Wednesday nights and our regular Thursday mornings to school. And it just shows you how fast life flies by. And then I drove back to Midtown And the whole time, you know, yesterday I was in the car with Mike Sabella, one of the lawyers here, and Diana Fabi Sampson, coming back from the appellate division. And I was driving a very cool car that Diana has. And they were talking about the radio presets. And they were like, what do you listen to the radio? Oh, I listen to country. Oh, I listen to classic rock. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm on the phone 90% of the time I'm in the car. And the other 10% of the time I'm basically listening to talk radio because that's what I grew up on and that's how I learn. You know, it's very hard for me to do leisurely reading. But when I'm in the car, whether it's a podcast I'm listening to, but I'm often just dialing around the AM dial. And I have these old cars, so I don't have Sirius or anything. I'm, you know, just hitting 970 and then bouncing around from there. So I zip on in and I park my car. I run on up. I'm on the phone, I come in the office. I kind of say hello, you know, as the leader of the office. I want everyone to know, like, oh, I'm not home sleeping. Here I am. And just to only to run back out, run to Grand Central, jump on the 4 train. Saw police officers, plenty of them in Grand Central. Saw them on the platform. Jump on the 4 train, go downtown and go to 500 Pearl Street, which is the Southern District of New York, because I had a client who pled guilty. Maybe 3 weeks. Oh, I know when he pled, the day after the Harvey Weinstein argument. So he pled guilty February the 15th. And today was his probation interview. And when you're interviewed by probation in federal court, it's a very important part of the process because they basically work for the judge and they paint a picture to the judge of who this individual is that the judge is going to be sentencing. So they give a lot of background to the judge as to, you know, who the human being is, who his parents were, who his grandparents were, who his children are, his significant other, his finances, all of that stuff. So we sat there and there were two young women there who were interns, college interns, and then the probation officer who's been there for quite some time, like 15 years, and myself and my client. And you're sitting there and, you know, even though you're having a conversation, you realize how important it is because ultimately this woman who we're sitting across will give a recommendation to the sentencing judge about how much time she thinks this individual should get in prison or none at all, I hope. So, but my client did very well. He's got to do the pee in the cup thing to make sure he's not on drugs. It was a relatively pleasant experience, slightly nerve-wracking for me because I know the impact that a probation report has on a judge. I jump back on the subway at City Hall, zip back all the way up to 59th Street, and I went to lunch at Michael's of Brooklyn with my dear friend Mark Carbone, who is, besides being a dear friend, he's also a client of the firm, but he's definitely a friend first. And Michael's of Brooklyn is a kind of seen to be seen, whatever place here in Midtown Manhattan. But what a gorgeous day. I got off at 59th Street and Lexington Avenue right by Bloomingdale's. And I walked up and, oh, my God, you guys, you could have Florida. You could have North Carolina. You could have L.A. I mean, there is nothing like New York, walking Park Avenue, Madison Avenue, you know, 58th Street, 57th Street. I walked by the Plaza Hotel, the foot of Central Park, Harry Cipriani's bar right there, the original one. Just great. Bergdorf Goodman. You feel the energy. It's coming out of the sidewalk. And I had a wonderful time at lunch, and then they zip back to the office, met some potential new clients with Judge David Lewis, who's going to be on the show right after the commercial break, and John Esposito. They have a little pickle going on in the state of New Jersey, and they have current representation, but they may be looking to ask us to help out. Ran around a little bit, had to do a couple of errands around here. One of them going to the bank. And I am going to have Judge David Lewis come on because yesterday in the Georgia President Trump Rudy Giuliani case, there was some news. And today in the Manhattan President Trump hush money case, there is some news. Judge Lewis was a criminal defense attorney for decades and a Supreme Court judge here in New York City. And now he's a part of Idala Bertuna and Commons, a very big part, I may add. So we'll get a great interpretation as to what's going on, both in Georgia and in New York. Before we go, we got a minute left. Joan, what's going on with your face?
Nothing. I got my hair done today.
Joan.
I had a little procedure on my lips.
Did you ever hear the expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
as we get older, we do little things to help ourselves.
Joan, there's something called natural beauty. I just know. Like, let it happen.
It's all natural. My hair is very naturally
before
colored.
I go to Judge David Lewis, you know, yesterday Diana Fabi Sampson was here, and she was still, she had a intellectual hangover from arguing the Ghislaine Maxwell case the day before. And her and Judge Lewis, as they often do, start going at it. And I guess her voice went up like a half an octave or half a tone or whatever, decibel. And Judge Lewis calmly looks at her. He goes, just because you get louder doesn't mean it makes
I
you more right.
That
was hilarious.
I loved that.
That was,
just
that was
a quick
funny.
Update. If for some reason Chief Kemper cannot join us because of the situation that literally just happened at 5 o'clock, we will have the Chief of Patrol, John Chell, joining us. So we're
going to
have one
look
or another.
Sambolino.
I need actually, a raise.
She's actually doing something. What do you think?
Oh, come now.
Besides getting needles in her face. You girls.
All right. So he thinks he's second fiddle, though, so he may not be happy about that.
Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Judge David Lewis. Don't go away.
'24 is an election year, and that could mean huge gains. Consider the Dow. Over the last 123 years, over 65% of the years were winners. Traders who want to capture the biggest gains need to perfect their timing of entries and exits. Vantage Point's dual-patented artificial intelligence processes billions of data points instantly, giving you the edge to make informed decisions. We can help you predict major market trends in advance. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn the power of the AI pattern we can only describe as electionomics. Join our free class today and put electionomics to work for you. Text the word money to 813-813 right now. Text money to 813-813. Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply. Text money to 813-813.
Let's talk about Bay Ridge Honda in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn on 4th Avenue and 88th Street. All of the new Honda models are right there on their gorgeous showroom floor. The brand new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, the Honda CR-V, the gorgeous Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. Bay Ridge Honda has them all. They're ready for you to drive home today. It's almost the weekend. Bay Ridge Honda serves all 5 boroughs, the state of New Jersey. Every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your maintenance needs. On top of that, they have APR rates as low as 1.9%. No payments until summer 2024, 90 days of no payments. They have the best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. And to kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. So join the Sabah family, stroll on into Bay Ridge Honda on 4th Avenue and 88th Street, or go check them out online at bayridgehonda.com.
This is Joe Piscopo. The following is a medical minute sponsored by my friends at InfuCare RX. InfuCareRx.com. Improving quality of life one patient at a time. This week's medical minute features Dr. Mayur Patel of Jersey Shore University Medical Center.
Parenteral nutrition means intravenous nutrition feeding, which is a method of getting nutrition through the vein. By doing this, you are bypassing the entire digestive system. When we eat food, it is normally digested in stomach and intestine, and nutrients will then get absorbed in the blood. A specialized solution made up of dextrose, lipids, proteins, vitamins, and minerals is mixed with fluid and is directly infused into the bloodstream. This makes it an option for the patient unable to eat or use the tube feeding.
This medical minute is sponsored by InfuCareRx, and the information, comments, or views expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of InfuCareRx. Please consult your medical professional for any medical questions, opinions, or guidance.
Let's talk about the great lawyers at Connors and Sullivan. You know, when you were young and unafraid and youth was just used and wasted, you thought, huh, I don't need a healthcare proxy. I don't need a power of attorney. I'll worry about that when I'm older and I'm sick, and nothing could be further than the truth. The fact is, if something happens, you might not be able to designate a power of attorney or a healthcare proxy. What happens then? The state or the courts may have to make those important decisions for you. Is that what you want? Of course that's not what you want. It is essential to create a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy now as soon as you can. Just to be clear, a power of attorney means when you are still alive but unable to make legal decisions regarding mortgage payments, lease, finances, real estate, someone else who you designate can make those decisions for you. And a healthcare proxy means if you can't make medical decisions because you can't talk, God forbid you're intubated, but you're still alive, you tell the world who you want to make those decisions for you. The lawyers at Connors and Sullivan can set all of that up. They really know their stuff. They've been doing it for 40 years. So call Connors and Sullivan, attorneys at law, today. They'll help you make a plan that protects you and your family best. For a free in-person initial consultation with a lawyer, call 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
See what San Bernardino's got going on. Let's see. Is this from Pee Wee? No, not Pee Wee, the other one.
Austin Powers,
thank you. Wow. What made you pull this out of your hat?
Well, this was composed by Quincy Jones, who's turning 91 today.
Okay, hold on one second, Sam. Now, you know how highly I think of you, and especially your musical prowess. But Quincy Jones is one of the greatest of all time. And this is what you're breaking out with?
I want this something that people will recognize right away, and it works.
All right, listen to me. I need you, if even with or without Kemper, I'm making it audible here. I need you to break out a great Quincy Jones tune at the beginning of the next segment. Are we okay with that? Can I call that audible?
Sure.
All right. Maybe the first audible I've ever called. All right. So let me talk to the man who's sitting right in front of me. There's a lot of breaking news on Trump. This just came through at, 5:58 p.m., judge denies one of Trump's efforts to derail documents case. With the former president in attendance, Judge Eileen Cannon held a hearing in federal court in Florida to weigh some of Donald Trump's motions to have the classified documents case dismissed. Judge Lewis, did you read that at all? Yes or no?
They attacked the...
Get a little closer to that microphone.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
They attacked the constitutionality and for vagueness, the Espionage Act, and she rejected that motion.
Okay, so that's moving forward. So we got two other cases we could discuss with breaking news. One is the Georgia case, but let's start with the Manhattan case, what came down just a little while ago.
Well, there's been a battle over an adjournment. Trump's lawyers asked for 90 days. The prosecutors in Manhattan responded with 30 days because they just turned over their disclosure from the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office of the Michael Cohen-related case, which is supposedly thousands of documents. So they've asked for that time. I don't know if the judge is going to give it to them since he set this as a drop-dead date, but this is a wrinkle that really should get the case adjourned.
So just explain to folks who do not know exactly how things work regarding discovery and dates to turn things over and the new rules regarding COC, certificates of compliance. Give us the real, logistical effect of what's going on.
Well, first, this is outside of those rules because the DA's office just got the material.
Okay.
So once they just get it, they have to turn it over. They've represented that they've just gotten it, and they've turned it over.
Do we know why they just got it at this late date?
Probably the U.S. attorneys for the Southern District didn't want to release it. Cohen is still under supervision, so they still have a live case.
So, in other words, what do you believe, and this is all breaking, but what do you think, what type of documents were turned over?
Probably debriefings and related statements, statements about Cohen by other witnesses, who would then be possibly eligible to be witnesses in the state case based on what's in them. In other words, if they want to show that Cohen's lying and the United States government had the paperwork to actually do it, it has to be turned over to the defense lawyer, wherever that defense case is.
So, from a defense point of view, like...
It's a windfall. Whatever happens, it's a windfall. Because they have a basis for delay, which is what they wanted. And they have more data to cross-examine Cohn.
So, just so you know, the way the press initially reported this, which was totally wrong, they made it seem, the headlines made it seem like the prosecutor was asking for the delay. What was true is the prosecutor is consenting to a delay where they had not done so in the past.
Agreeing to a portion of the delay that Trump asked for.
And tell folks, because you've been a defense attorney for decades and then a judge, hypothetically, you get these documents tonight. You're the defense attorney. You do not know whether you're getting this adjournment or not.
That's right. So I'm preparing as if I'm not.
So how do you prepare?
Well, the first thing is you read the documents as fast as you can. You already have, most likely because you're set for trial, some form of an outline for your cross. And then the question is, does this put more meat on those bones? Does it give you additional issues? And it's just part of the endless preparing until the very moment you're at trial.
And usually these documents are used to impeach somebody, correct?
Right.
All right, so explain to the listeners what that means. What does it mean to impeach somebody?
So the witness takes a stand and says, I saw the car go through the red light. In the deposition they gave, they said, I saw the car, it had the green light. In effect, you use the statement in the deposition, the prior inconsistent statement, to prove that on another occasion, this witness told a different story, and therefore can't be relied on. And this story now can't be relied on because it's been changed.
Okay. And now you're the judge. Now you just did your defense attorney hat. Now you're Judge Lewis, and you're handling this case, and you know that the whole world is watching, literally, and you were very adamant, March 25th, and you get a letter from the defense attorney saying, Judge, you know, we represent the former president of the United States, the guy who is right now in many polls leading to be the next president of the United States, and we just got 1,000 pages about one of the main witnesses, if not the main witness, and we need 90 days. And then you get a second letter from the prosecutor saying, yeah, we just handed over 1,000 pages about the main witness. We would consent to 30 days. Judge Lewis, what do you say? Judge?
I give him the 60 days.
You split the difference.
I give him an instruction, or at least a bit of a bench slap, because the government took so long to turn it over to the district attorney, and that it's fundamental that a defendant is entitled to have the material he needs to cross-examine a witness like Cohn.
Would you let the DA's office off, or I should really say, would you let the Southern District off so easily, or would you ask the prosecutor, I want a letter from you why you just got this just now? I want to know why you're turning this over. It's March 14th. Why are you turning this? All of this, you know it existed. It's not like they didn't. It's a secret. They just found it in a vault, in Al Capone's vault. So, you know, why are we doing this at this late date?
I would expect that the DA's already told me that when they agreed to the time that they believe is right.
So you mean that they would?
But I want to be clear. It doesn't stop me as a judge from writing an opinion that basically says the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District has violated the basic principles of fair play and due process. And I would write that decision for the purposes of publication and as a prophylactic against it happening somewhere else.
There you go. That's Judge Lewis. Now, Judge Lewis, let's change jurisdictions. You're representing under the umbrella of Idala, Bertuna, and Commons, Rudy Giuliani, in the great state of Georgia, the Peach State. And there was a decision handed down by the court there yesterday. Why don't you break that down for us?
All right. There are two parts to the indictment against the defendants in that case, including Giuliani. There is a RICO conspiracy, a racketeering conspiracy, with a number of overt acts and a small number of racketeering acts. There are also what's called substantive counts, crimes themselves that are not done in the form of an agreement or a conspiracy. In the judge's decision, in response to what would be in New York a motion to dismiss counts in an indictment, and in Georgia it's called a demurrer, an old form of pleading that says, okay, fine, but that's still not a crime. And the judge found that six of the counts, not the overt acts or the racketeering acts, but six of the specific counts were not sufficiently pled and had to be dismissed.
So what does that mean for our client, Mr. Giuliani, if anything?
Well, he's named in three of the counts. So at least he's not facing charges on those counts. But they're still in the racketeering acts, and then any two racketeering acts in the course of the conspiracy would allow a conviction. So we're really still defending the same actions under another count.
What is the timeline currently on the Georgia case?
Well, we expect, well, don't know, that the judge is going to decide the disqualification of the DA and her special prosecutor tomorrow. He said 2 weeks. If he does, we'll find out whether it's going to stay with Fannie Willis's office or move. If the judge doesn't dismiss the indictment, which I have a feeling won't happen, it will go to another DA in another county, but still will be tried in Fulton County. So all it does is remove one team and possibly slip in another.
But gives you a much much longer runway for when this thing is actually going to go to trial.
It'll delay the trial indefinitely because of the volume of evidence we've got.
You allowed to make predictions?
I don't know if I can make a prediction, but I can tell you this. We got 8 terabytes of discovery.
How much is that? Tell me.
8 Eiffel Towers standing on top of each other.
Is that accurate?
About an Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. Okay. All right, folks. Well, there you go. You got your law lesson from today from a very, very intelligent lawyer. I'll tell you that one. Judge David Lewis. He's a partner here at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Thank you very much for finding the time, Judge Lewis. And we are going to come back with, I think, someone from the NYPD who's going to report back on the state of crime here in the city of New York. Sam Bellino's going to give us a great Quincy Jones tune. And I don't know, I'll regale you with some stories. Don't go away. It's Arthur Idala on the Power Hour.
Tonight at 7, Legal Night fires up right on time, just in time for you to have the biggest legal stories of the day brought to you with expertise from legal all-star Imran Ansari and yours truly, Kevin McCullough. That's tonight at 7.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
AM 970, The Answer, doesn't have to stop when you turn off your radio. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Download the app. Just search AM 970, The Answer. Take us with you wherever you go.
FazTech Industries. FazTech Industries, you know what they do? They help you with all of your construction, all of your demolition, and all of your weekly waste removal needs. They have roll-off containers from 10 to 40 yards, perfect for house, attic, and garage cleanouts or construction and demolition debris. FazTech specializes in the removal and the recycling of dirt, of rock, of concrete, of brick, asphalt in all 5 boroughs, every corner of New Jersey, and now serving Westchester County. FazTech is the number one supplier of recycled products. FazTech is the number one wholesaler of virgin quarry materials. And FazTech is the number one provider of roll-off containers. So what do you want to do? You want to call FazTech today. Call Joe at 718-494-1600. 718-494-1600. Mention this ad for $25 off your next roll-off container rental. Go online to FazTech End, FazTechIND.com. FazTech Industries, New York, New Jersey, and Westchester County. FazTech Industries is a DeFazio company.
Hi, this is Judge Kamens, a partner at Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, and where Arthur Idala of the Arthur Idala Power Hour works at his 24/7 day job. In 2014, I retired from the bench to join ABK, which is a full-service, preeminent boutique firm that has been helping New Yorkers when legal problems arise. ABK is uniquely qualified to assist New Yorkers who have a wide range of legal problems, from personal injury claims and civil litigation to criminal defense and trusts and estates. I personally work on appellate matters, attorney disciplinary matters, and complex legal issues with a dedicated group of attorneys who provide a team approach to each case. There is no legal problem too big or small for this talented and hardworking legal team. So when you think of the Idala Power Hour, also keep in mind ABK, the Power Legal Firm.
Hi, it's Arthur again, talking about Plaza College. Plaza College with that nursing school, dental hygiene school, they are unbelievable. But you know what I want to focus on. Court reporting. Think about it. So many people go to college and they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out. And I don't know if I'll find a job. And I don't know if I'll be able to make money. And I don't know if I'll be able to pay my loans. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, quoting from the Connors and Sullivan ad, than that if you go to Plaza College's court reporting school. You know why? Because Plaza College's accelerated program in court reporting allows you to speed into the legal field and make great money without going to law school. And how do you know you're going to get a job? Well, I could tell you, I speak to the DA's offices. I speak to people in the civil field. They all need court reporters. Courts and schools and television stations, they're all seeking these professionals to record and caption everything from depositions, classes, live shows, and sporting events. With the national shortage, the National Court Reporters Association has partnered with our one and only Plaza College to offer free 2-week virtual seminar that gives a glimpse into the world of court reporting and captioning. That program is called A to Z and is being offered free and can be completed from the convenience of your home. So sign up today by emailing info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
All right, this is a little bit better than Austin Powers. Talk to us, Sambolino. Go ahead.
Well, this is from the Thriller album, one of Michael Jackson's, probably his best and definitely the most successful selling album of all time from back in 1982, which he produced.
Now, just correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Quincy Jones also do We Are the World?
Yes, he did.
All right, you know, that was a little low-hanging fruit for you there, too, Sambolino. But, you know, But you can't go all, you know, can't go wrong with Thriller. So, speaking of Thriller, a guy who's got a thrilling life, what'd you say? This is off of the album Thriller, right?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Joan, you're breaking the Foley rule, number one. Number two, you look like you were in a bar fight with all of this stuff in your lips.
You know what? Let me just say something.
He's not second fiddle, but I will tell you this. When Chief Chell, I'm doing an advertisement right now for Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens. When Chief John Chell, the Chief of Patrol for the City of New York, when he needs like a little legal help, a little insight having nothing to do with criminal law or anything that he does, just some civil law, he doesn't call me. He doesn't call Judge Kamens. Doesn't call Judge Lewis or Judge Leventhal. He goes right to the top. He calls Marianne Bertuna.
There you go.
She is the woman with the brains and the know-how to get things done and to help Chief Chell navigate the world of civil law. Welcome back to the show there, Chief John Chell.
How are you, Arthur? I was going to put out a missing persons for you, but I see you're doing quite well. And in terms of civil litigation, I'm going to plead the fifth, but you might be spot on something.
It's okay. We're in good shape. So, you know, obviously, I turn on my phone here before I come on the show every day, and, you know, like 15, 20 minutes before to make sure everything is okay. And, you know, Hoyt Skimmerhorn Station, I've been on that station hundreds of times. And can you fill us in a little bit on what happened there today?
Yeah, from what we know right now, there's two men on the train having a dispute why the train is moving. you know, what they're fighting about, we're still working through. A gun is produced and shots are fired. One male is shot a few times, and we have the other person who pulled the trigger. As to and the weapon recovered, as to what happened and who shot who, they're working through the whole thing right now. So, you know, it's been neutralized. We have all parties involved. We have the gun removed. And now we're just working through exactly what happened. And the chief camp is going to be doing a press conference probably the next 5 or 10 minutes to kind of elaborate what I'm telling you.
Right. So, you know, obviously it's a little scary. You know, you talking about putting out a missing persons on me. There was no way any missing persons was going on about you. I mean, you've been all over the place.
Thankfully. Thankfully.
Why? Because he's selling swag.
No,
that was one article I saw.
Have been outstanding.
I saw you selling mugs, and then he got yelled at by a judge. Did you get disciplined by a judge for something you said?
No. We take every opportunity to in any venue to get our message out, our narrative out, and you know when we're upset about some things that we think should go a different way, we'd be a little more outspoken about it, a little more strategic about it, just to inform people what's going on.
Well, Chief Chell, didn't you go out on the podium and say something that you think, you know, more people should be getting bail and that judges are sending bail that's too high and you're just throwing everyone in Rikers, or did I misread that?
No, look, what I talk about is the process. When the process works, whatever you met at, when all the stakeholders do what they're supposed to do, from the police to the elected officials to the DAs to the judges, when everyone does what they're supposed to be doing and does it well, the process works, and that's how you mitigate crime. And that's how you control the crime numbers, but also the perception of how people feel and what they read about. You know, we're doing a big campaign to take crime down, but also make people feel safe by the visual of seeing our cops. So back to the transit incident we were just talking about, we would love to prevent that with the influx of cops we're putting in transit, but our cops are right there on the platform where we ask them to be. So the next best thing is to grab all the parties involved and mitigate any more threats. So
I was on the 4 train from Grand Central to City Hall, then I was on the 5 train from City Hall to 59th Street, and I saw, you know, I saw about 8 cops. Let me ask something about it. I know this is transit, and you're the patrol guy, but you know more than Kemper does. Just don't tell him that. is there a reason why the cops stand side by side as opposed to spreading out a little bit? Like, is there a procedural thing? Like, look, we got to have each other's back, or, you know, I'm talking about when they're on the platform, not when they're in an actual subway car.
Especially on a platform, we want them together in case something happens and they have to go and it gets physical. What a lot of people fail to talk about is think about having to arrest someone on a platform and they don't want to be arrested. It is extremely hard to handcuff somebody who does not want to be handcuffed. It really is. And you've seen it 1,000 times. You got to wrestle. But what people fail to understand is, you know, 10 feet to the left, 10 feet to the right, you're on the roadbed. And there's trains on there. Very dangerous situation. So we definitely want them standing together, head on a swivel, just in case anything happens.
You are... You mentioned a moment ago about, you know, making people feel safer, the perception. 2 nights ago, I had on the air Larry Salona from the New York Post.
Part and, you of know, that article that we read.
And he is, that was Joan Pelzer just chiming in case anyone doesn't know. And you know, we were talking about perception. I mean, Larry, we're all around the same age. He's another Zavarian boy. I was totally outnumbered between you, Tom Harris, Larry Salona, all these Zavarian, these Clippers.
Yeah, we didn't really mingle with the Bishop Ford people, but I make an exception.
No, Bishop Ford. How about this? How about Poly Prep? Take it easy. So Bishop Ford was an old girls' school, correct?
No, that was all Bishop Ford was boys, and Poly Prep is a whole other talking point.
All right. We'll talk about it later. But what I was talking about with Larry Salona, and he came here with numbers, basically on your guy's side, saying, you know, he had the numbers from like 1989 and 1991 and the numbers today. And, you know, there were 3,000, almost 3,000 murders versus 300 murders. And he went down the line. And it's interesting why, you know, people have this feeling of, oh, you know, we're so unsafe now when... the numbers at least don't bear that out. But here's what I want to ask you, Chief Chell, because when I'm being a cheerleader for you guys, all I keep hearing is, oh, Idala, you know, the numbers are going down because people don't report the crimes. But isn't it? Just address that for me.
Crimes, crimes are being reported. And like you said, the numbers now compared to the 90s, it's apples and oranges. But one of the things that we really battle is what you just talking about, the perception, how people feel. And that's a strong battle for us. And people want to read when a recidivist gets arrested. They don't want to read that person's out in the street walking around. They're like, how is this happening? Like you just mentioned before, they want to see their cops on the train, makes them feel safe. So crime's not getting reported. I don't buy into that 1 second. And how can you even prove that? But I don't believe.
So I forget who else was it, Salona, or it may have been Kemper, who told me, like, there's a tiny percentage, like a tiny number of human beings who are committing a huge percentage of the crimes. And a lot, I think it's a ton of recidivism. Could you address that, Chief John Chill?
Absolutely. So in every community across the city, there's a very small segment of that causes us to have a majority of the issues. So let's talk retail theft for a moment. Big topic for the last couple of years and even this year. Even though the number is down, I'll give you a staggering stat. Last year in 2023, 524 people locked up for retail theft were arrested 7,600 times.
So 524 is responsible for 7,600, is that what you said?
They're arrested 7,600 times. That's recidivism. And those numbers are numbers, but there are also victims involved in those numbers. So that's recidivism that hurts our city. Transit. The conductor who got his neck slashed about 2 weeks ago on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. We covered
in
that.
In 2023, 38 people arrested for assaulting conductors. They were locked up over 1,100 times. So how does that happen? That's recidivism. And then when people read these statistics, they say, well, how is this happening? What is happening? And that's the perception piece and the reality piece. These people shouldn't be on the street committing these crimes. They should be in a jail cell, a very small portion of them, the recidivists.
So you're talking about 38 people in one category, 524 people. So in a city of 8 million people, you're talking about less than 600 people are the ones who are making a lot of problems for us law-abiding citizens.
In those two categories are very minute, but the numbers are staggering.
So, Chief John Chell, here's the guys that I'm afraid of, and I'm speaking candidly. God forbid some guy comes over to me and says, you know, give me your wallet, give me your watch, and I'd give it to him in a second, and they would run away. I'm cool with that. I'm very uncool with that. But what do we do with the mentally ill? The guy who slashed the conductor for no reason, right? He's not looking for money. He's not looking for anything. You know, the woman who pushed Joan in the subway for no reason. They just, and this is not a subway incident. I mean, he could be in the subway. He could be on the ground. I mean, there's guys literally pooping right in the middle of the street on the gutter at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Chief John Chell of the NYPD, how does the NYPD handle that, those situations?
Well, if they are incapable of handling themselves, if they're in such a way that from the visual eye, they cannot handle themselves, hygiene, we can remove them from the street. Okay, that we can do. If it's homeless and maybe emotionally disturbed, we can get them, we can call services out the street, but they have to accept the services. We can't just arrest you for that. Now, if you commit a crime, yes, we can. But that's the hard part, getting people services who want the services. And then on the occasion I mentioned earlier, if a person's so incapable by the visual eye they can't take care of themselves, we can remove you and take you to the hospital.
Yeah, and I feel so bad for you guys for that. You know, I was talking to an emergency room doctor the other day, and she said that you guys brought in a homeless guy who, and this was like, it seems crazy today, it was 70 degrees, but he was freezing to death, like literally freezing to death. His blood, his body temperature was like 82 degrees or something like that. And they had to perform all these procedures, but he had to go to a private or special room because he was covered in lice and covered in bed bugs. And, you know, the hygiene was off the charts horrible. You know, should there be a separate division or bureau or agency that deals with that? I mean, in my mind, a police officer who's running down robbers and you know, busting guys for dealing drugs should not be in the same category as someone dealing with a mentally ill person. What does Chief John Chell have to say about that?
No, and this is what we're trying to get better and better as a city, having the interagency cooperation to be working together, whether it be homeless services, the police department, private entities. We're doing a much better job working together to get these people help. And it's never been done before. I think the mayor and the staff and our team are doing much, much better at that. They even walk around the city, I challenge anyone to tell me they see a lot of homeless encampments anymore. So the interagency cooperation is where we're getting better and better at getting people help.
So there's something called the McNaughton Rule, where it says every man is to be presumed to be sane and to possess a sufficient degree of reason to be responsible for his crimes until the contrary be proved. An insane person is punishable if he knows at the time of the crime. This is like decades-old law. But I, you know, I don't know if that theory is being enforced for petty crimes. You know, if a sane person, right, starts urinating in the street or defecating in the street, and an NYPD guy sees him, he's going to at least write him up a summons. But you get these guys who are just, you know, obviously off the wall doing it. I feel like there's no real enforcement, and I'm not really criticizing, because even if that's my job, I'm like, man, I don't really want to deal with this guy who's screaming and yelling, and he's got clothes hanging off of him, and he stinks, and he's covered with lice and bed bugs. I mean, but those are the kinds of things that, like, a lawyer like me sitting in Midtown, these are the guys I see, like, on the corner in front of the NBA store on 45th and 5th. What do we do?
You can call 311, or if you believe it rises to the level of 911, either way you get on the record. A 311 will have a response from Homeless Services. That triggers a response mechanism. But again, if a person like that, as you described, is on the street, we have the power to remove them and bring them to the hospital to get the services they need. And, of course, if someone commits a petty crime and they might have a mental deficiency, we'll make the arrest if we have to, and the judge in the court system will determine where he or she is going to go after that.
All right, before I let you go, Chief Chell, how do troops? I mean, you're in charge of a lot of troops. You know, I'm in charge of like 20 people in here. You know, my idea of taking care of the troops is walking around saying, "Anyone want a cup of coffee? Can I get you some seltzer with lemon?" You know, you got a lot more people under your command. How's the morale?
The morale is good. They're working so hard. The record number of different type of arrests, gun arrests. They really are getting the job done. And we have a saying in our office, even in our building at this point, every interaction matters with a young cop. Whether I'm right here, I'm still in Skimahona Hoyt, just to say, hey, how you doing to a cop? Tell him thank you. Tell him good job. Tell her good job. They smile. Just keep them in a good, make them feel appreciated. Make them smile.
And oh, Jones dying to chime in.
I do it all the time. I know Arthur does too. We took a picture with a lieutenant in Grand Street the other day with two officers, and we are happy to do that to support every single person in blue out there.
No, it's thank you, and it's remarkable. Just a simple human factor of, hey, good morning, how are you? Good job. Little joke. You make a person's day.
Yep.
And they'll have a little more pep in their step. They'll feel appreciated, and a happy worker is a productive worker.
We want you on more regularly, okay?
He's a busy guy.
Anytime.
He gives me a hard time. He's like, Kemper's better looking. We have to have him every week. I'm like, what about Shell?
Here she goes.
Well, listen, I taught Mike everything he knows, so I give him the freedom to flex his wings. But at the end of the day, Artie, I was going to call you the other night. I was out at our favorite spot. I wasn't sure if you were busy. I don't know if you were out of town or not.
Well, you should always call me. And unfortunately, I'm not saying I'm usually behind my desk pretty late these days. Thank God we've been real busy, John. So I appreciate you finding the time to jump on. I'm getting all these text messages about people who are saying that you're great. This is what one guy wrote. He goes, Chief Chell is on the money. Unfortunately, the district attorneys and the judges aren't.
Well, but let me share one thing for you. I'm on the scene right here. I'm helping out my partner, Chief Kemper. I'm moving resources around, and I'm getting text yelled at by my wife because I'm not answering my phone.
Uh-oh.
Well, what is this world coming to?
Been there, done that. Tell your beautiful wife that, you know, you're a little bit busy right now saving the city. Chief John Chell, thank you so much. It's Arthur Idala on the Power Hour. Thank you so much again. We're going to take a quick break, and what are we listening to? We Are the World?
Yes, we are.
All right, wow. give me like 10 seconds of that
Sambolino. He did his job.
So, we were just talking to Chief Chella, real Bay Ridge guy, listening to that great, great song. That's an old song now. But if you want to talk about Bay Ridge and you want to talk about cars, you know what I'm going to tell you to talk about? Bay Ridge Honda. Yep, right there. You know, Chief Chell mentioned our favorite spot. Well, it's about a block away, an avenue away from Bay Ridge Honda on 88th Street and 4th Avenue. Everyone knows Rob Sabah and the Sabah family. They've been there since his dad started 6 decades ago, over 60 years serving the 5 boroughs of Bay Ridge Honda. And right now they have all these brand new, beautiful, redesigned vehicles like the brand new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, CR-V, Accord, and Passport. Honda has it going on right now. They look beautiful. And Bay Ridge Honda serves all 5 boroughs, New Jersey, Connecticut, all around. You know why people go there? Well, because they've been there forever and people respect them. And the Sabah family makes you feel like you're part of their family. So this weekend, the weather should be beautiful. Go outside and treat yourself because you could go into Bay Ridge Honda. They're going to put zero money down. No payments until summer 2024. APR rates as low as 1.9%. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
The Answer.
REM, who you're listening to, played the first of 2 nights at London's Borderline Club under the name of Bingo Handjob. The group were in the UK promoting their 7th studio album, Out of Time, and their current single, Losing My Religion. So what was the deal? They just went under a little pseudonym and just decided to jump on stage and play some tunes?
That's what I think. You know, everyone always has a different band name origin story. A lot of bands change their names, you know, really early on.
Well, it's funny that you're bringing that up. Because I'm actually going down to Megan's here on 45th and 5th to meet with the members of Rapid Pulse, the original members of Rapid Pulse, just me and my boy Glenn and Boyle and Munch, the guys who started 15 when we were 15 years old. And the name of the band was a toss up. First we were called, when we were like 14, in the beginning of 15, we were called The Keys, like the keyboard. But then we decided that was like, it was like the Brooklyn Nets. They're named after a piece of equipment. Like, do we really want to be named after like the equipment of a keyboard? So we said, all right, we're not going to go with The Keys. And we narrowed it that we were totally into REM. And, they had a song or words of a song called Second Guessing. So we were thinking about going with Second Guessing, but the music that we play is, you know, is very upbeat. So I was like, well, Rapid Pulse is pretty cool. So one night, because that's, it gives you a rapid pulse, I called CBGB's and I booked a gig. I was 15, kids 15 today don't even know how to tie their shoes. And they goes, okay, you can come on the whatever it is, showcase night. And he goes, what's the name of the band? I go, Rapid Pulse. He goes, okay. We get there that night. I'm 15. I'm not even supposed to be in there. He goes, are you guys Rapid Pulse or the Rapid Pulse? I was like, no, just Rapid Pulse. And we went up, and God bless my father and Connie Glynn. They were there when crime was really crime in 1983 and watched us play some pretty rough songs at CBGB's when, as I said, crime was crime. Unfortunately, what happened today in the subway was horrible, but we're so happy that Chief Chell filled us in. He was at the scene, and Chief Kemper actually picked up the phone and called Joan and said, I'm sorry, I can't be on. I could be on tomorrow. All right, folks, it's a wrap. I'm going down to meet with the boys at Rapid Pulse. Have a great Thursday night here in New York City. It's Arthur Idala on the Idala Power Hour.
The Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, PC.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.